Bible, let's open up. We'll try to give you a thought the Lord's laid on our heart. Open up to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And a very familiar story there to both Bible believers and even folks who don't know the Bible necessarily. It's just a famous story. And we're going to pray God would breathe fresh light into the old story. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you find that place. If you can and able, you stand with us. And I'm going to read. Normally we'd start at the beginning, but I'm going to read at the end and ask the Lord to help us. And the Bible says this. I'll start reading in verse number 47. The Bible records these words. And it says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's. He will give, he'll give you into our hands. It came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, and he took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him." And notice this, it said, "and cut off his head therefore with it," or there, "cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel of Judah arose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines. Thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. The wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shesharaim, and said, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. They spoiled, the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tent." Notice verse 54, where we take our text from today. It said, "And David took the head of the Philistine, and he brought it to Jerusalem, but his armor," and he put his armor in his tent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this text. And God, I thank you, Lord, that I don't know how many times that I've been in this text. I don't know how many times I've read it. God, don't know how many times I preached out of it or heard somebody preach from it. But God, I'm glad that every time I ever have, you've helped me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us one more time today. God, I'd ask you that, Father, that you'd breathe fresh light into it. I pray, God, you'd touch our body and the Lord touch our spirit. Help us, Lord, not to say anything that you'd not have us to, and to God say everything that you would. I pray, God, that you'd help the people of God today, and the Father, face folks under the sound of our voice that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. And Lord, it'd be our prayer this morning that, God, that they'd be born again, for it's everlasting too late. I pray, God, that the good saints of God, Father, we'd look our eyes up, lift up, realize that our redemption is nigh. I pray that, God, that if there'd ever be a time that we'd be encouraged and engaged in the battle of the Lord, Lord, I pray that it'd be today. Help us, Lord, now. And Father, I pray not by our words or, Lord, not by our words or by our strength, but God, we pray by the Spirit of God you'd help. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Ask you all these favors in Christ's name. Amen and amen. For most of you, no doubt you know the story. And David comes flying on the scenes of your pages. And as soon as he shows up on the text, he's all the way through your Bible. And I mean, what a wonderful type of Christ that we find. We find that David in his heart has something that's coveted after for years to come. I got to thinking about this. Of all the folks you find in the text of Scripture, I never have found anybody that said, "Man, I'd like to be like Eliab, his older brother." I've never been around anybody that said, "You know what kind of spiritual walk I'd like to have? I'd like to be like old King Saul." I've never heard anybody talk about those men. But man, I've been around a lot of folks that I've heard say, "Boy, I'd like to have the heart of David when it comes to worship. I'd like to be known like David was known, as a man after God's own heart." I'd like to say this to you, right here in this passage of Scripture, that's where God takes him from being a shepherd boy and he flings him on the scenes of your pages in your Bible. But I want you to notice what the text says. When we find that the David comes up and he kills the giant. You all know the story. But what happens is what I'm interested in. As David takes out a sword, and the Bible said that he cut off, in verse 51, he cut off the head of Goliath. And verse 54, the Bible says this: and David took the head of the Philistine, and he brought it unto Jerusalem. If the Lord help me, I'd like to preach on this thought. And I'm preaching mainly this morning to young Christians, but I hope that God's word will be a help. You understand? And when we stand and preach in this church, and I've got folks like Brother Savage, I've been in this thing for 62 years, and I'm preaching the gospel for 52, and all the way across the room, I've got youngins. And this may be the first time I saw Brother Steve. And he said, Brother Kevin, he said, you always stand and say, this is a familiar story. He said, but it's not familiar to me. And I say, thank God. So I'm going to tell it like it's the first time that anybody's ever heard this story. Amen. I mean, we take for granted, thank God. And we've heard the gospel. We understand it. And folks tell it all around us. I've been knowing about David and his sling since before I knew much of anything. But I'm going to say this to you today. What we find in this text is a wonderful example to young Christians. I'm going to preach on this thought out of verse 54 when he cuts the head off Goliath. I want to preach on the subject on how to get ahead in your spiritual walk. Amen. How to get ahead in your spiritual walk. You want to know how to do it, thank God. God outlines it right here in this book. I mean, David's nobody. He's on the backside. He's the least among anybody. He's sitting down low. And whenever they call the brethren up to be anointed, they don't even call him out of the field. And they're so sure that he's going to be a nobody his whole life, they don't even bring him up. But boy, right here, things begin to change. And I got to thinking, he's an awful lot Cohen that's grabbing the attention of our young men and our young women, of our young married men and young married women. But right here, Brother Scotty, he shows us how to get ahead. I want you to watch what your Bible says, and I'll give you just a few things and I'll be done. If you're ever going to get ahead in this thing, the first thing you're going to have to do is stick with a worthy cause. In verse 29, the Bible says this. And now watch this, Steve. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It said, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. And so the first thing you're going to have to do, if you're ever going to get ahead in this thing, is you're going to have to stick with a worthy cause. Let me say this, friend. You gain all the money in the world, and that is not a worthy cause. Amen. I find today that we care about fir trees, and we care about whales, and we care about guineas, and we care about snakes, but we're aborting babies by the millions, and we don't care too much about things that are a worthy cause. But I'm going to say this, and you mark it down straight and tall. My friend, I've stood by the bedside of a many that's died, and not one of them's ever talked about their 401k. I've never heard somebody say, man, I wish to God I'd worked another day. But boy, I've been around many of them that said, Brother Kevin, if I could go back, I'd live my life for Christ. You know why, friend? Benjamin Franklin won't help you when you die. Look at me, friend. Michael Jordan's not going to help you. LeBron James will do nothing for you. But there's a God in heaven that'll help you in that season. Amen. I say this to you, friend. The first thing he did was he found a worthy cause. And now listen, keeping sheep's good. But notice, I start thinking about this. What got him was this. And the Bible says there, notice in his text, and whenever he begins to outline it, he said, what shall happen to the man who shall take away the reproach of Israel? And you know what bothered him? It bothered him. Now listen, and I'm going to try to preach the best I can today. But what he done was this, Brother Savage. He walked up and he saw the reproach that Israel was under. He saw the enemy and how they was controlling everything. And boy, that got to bothering David. Oh, David got to looking around, Chase. And he said, I don't understand. I don't understand why everybody's just going through the motions. I don't understand why nobody's trying to fight him. I don't understand why everybody is running and fleeing to their tents. He said, is there not a cause? Somebody ought to do something. it, if for no other reason than to take the reproach off of the name of Israel and out of the name of Christ. I'm telling you, look here, friend, I can't attest to nobody else. And now, I know there's a lot of fun. I want you to hear me. I cannot attest to everybody else. But boy, it grieves me to drive up and down the roads. And you look over and you say, man, have that fella right there. I've driven many times, and Brother Nathaniel's been with me. And we see somebody strung out on meth. And he said, Brother Kevin, that fella there used to preach. And then we go over there and we look at another home. And they say, Brother Kevin, them folks right there, they used to be faithful to the house of God. And man, there's something about that that rips my heart out. And meanwhile, we gather in and go through the motions. I'm saying, if there's ever a time, if there was ever a cause to do something for Christ, it ought to be right now. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, friend. And David got there, and the first thing we find is he was tired of the reproach that was on the people of God. I mean, look here, friend. I went to God to taste some folks. Lately, I'm honest. I'm trying to be as honest as I know how to be. Hey, some folks said, I wish, Jerry, that we could just take what was on the inside of us and just give them a little dose of it. I mean, they come in, they fight hell day after day. And when they come in, Brother Bobby, they don't have no joy. They're not enjoying the things of God. I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear me. I'm glad on my best day when I come in the house of God, God's real. Amen. But I'm glad on my worst day when I come in the house of God, everything's broke down at home. Hey, listen, everybody's in a fight and the whole world's falling to pieces. I'm glad I can come in and they start singing about how well I claim the blood. And before very long, I'm reminded there's still a cause. There's still a cause. Amen. Thank God it's not time, neighbor, to give up or let up. I'm saying this. He said, I've got to take the reproach off the name of Israel. And then I want you to notice this. And not only that, but there was a reward. I got to thinking about this. And watch what this Bible says there. If I can say it, if I can read it real carefully to you. The Bible says, and the people answered him. In verse 27 looks like, and the people answered him after the main manner saying, so shall be done to the man of God, to the man that killeth him. And the Bible said in verse 25, it said he would enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Whenever David got up there, he wanted to remove the reproach, but he also understood that there was a reward that was coming for those who fought in the battle. Amen. I want to say this, friend. Now listen, I like it when folks is with me. I like it when we're all spiritual. I like it when things are going great. I enjoy all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, and I want you to listen, it's not all of that that keeps me going on. Brother Adam Beatty, I am reminded every day when I wake up, every time when it comes time to preach, that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. I am reminded in Romans 14, and so then every one of us must appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and we must give an account of ourselves as unto God. I'm saying this, friend, listen to me. There's going to be a time that you will stand before Christ and give a report of the battle that you was in. I've done a lot of things wrong. I've failed in a lot of places. I do not want to be known as a deserter from the work of God. Oh, listen. There's been some times, if I'm being honest, that I've been AWOL. God couldn't find me. I mean, as far as man's concerned, I wasn't enlisted where God wanted me to be. But thank God, friend, that good shepherd left the 99 and went searching after one fallen soldier and brought me back. And if God will help me, and by God's grace we can, I'd like to stay in the fight until the end. Amen. I hope that you do too. I'm saying this, there's a reward. Oh, friend, there's a day coming. And you say, preacher, it don't feel like we're rewarded right here. I don't want to be rewarded right here. Amen. Everything you got right here is temporary. But thank God, there's a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. A tie on the other side. I say it a lot, but it makes me happy. And it's in the Bible, so I'll say it again today. Hey, Apostle Paul said, and whenever he is getting ready to leave, he said, for I am now ready to depart. At the time of my departure is at hand. Hey, thank God, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid
made up for me. That's like he already knew it. Amen. That's almost like God had already let him in on the fact that when he crossed over, he was something waiting on the other side. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And thank God Gabriel's not giving it to him. Hey, listen, Hezekiah's not doing it. And the Sanhedrin sure enough ain't. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord and the righteous judge shall give to me at that day. And thank God for that. But boy, thank God for what comes next. He said, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And you say, preacher, I ain't never done too much right. I ain't neither. Amen. But I've done a few things. Amen. Hey, listen, I've not always stood upright. But there's been a few times I have. I've not always said what's right. But there's been a few times I have. I've done wrong probably more than I've done right. But there's been a few times. I said that to say this. Thank God the Bible said in Matthew 25, and when he comes, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he didn't say many things there. Ain't none of us who thought we had anything. But thank God. Look here, friend. I'm just saying there's a cause, and that'll help you get ahead. And notice there was a reproach. I find there was a reward. But there's also a responsibility. And when you come to this text, I like the fact that David was not going to do what everybody else did. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that David wasn't. I mean, David said, there's a cause. I can whoop him. I know I can. And I'm going to do what I can. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I know if he was a Baptist today, he would have flown through three committees. He would have met with 45 people. And before it's all said and done, he would have never done nothing for the Lord. He'd have said, well, what if I fail? Now listen, I want everybody to hear me today. What if you do fail? Let's just be honest. Hey, you know, failure keeps a lot of folks from trying anything for the Lord. Amen. They sit around and they say, well, I would say something, but I sound like a fool. I would try to sing, but I can't sing. I would try to say something to my neighbor, but it all comes out right or wrong. I'd say this to you, friend. I'd rather be a fool for Christ's sake than to be wise in the world any day. And what a blessing. If I'm going to fail, I'd rather, look here, friend, if I'm going to fail, I'd rather fail at doing the best I can to try to do something for the Lord. Amen. Oh, hear me today. I'm talking about how you got ahead in life. How the first thing you got to find is there's a worthy cause to stick with. But then the second thing you find in this passage in particular, I want my boys, if nobody else's will, I want my youngins to be listening up right here. When you come to this next text of scripture, I want you to notice there's that you ought to stick with a worthy cause, and then you ought to stay away from the wrong crowd. Amen. Let me say this. If you're ever going to get ahead in life, you're going to have to stay away from the headless crowd. Amen. I mean, they some people, thank God, that you just can't run with if you're going to try to get ahead in this spiritual life. Amen. As a matter of fact, you'll find here, there's three enemies in the text in 1 Samuel 17. There's three crowds that David's going to have to avoid if he's ever going to do anything for God. Boy, I hope God will help me real good. You pray that he will right here, all right? I want you to see what your text says. That very first text in verse 24, 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says this. This is the first crowd he comes up on. And when he finds out about him, the Bible says David heard them at the end of verse 23. At verse 24 it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and they were afraid. And the first crowd you're going to have to stay away from is the crowd that's going to try to conform you into doing nothing. Amen. I want you to listen to me. You'll have to stay away from the crowd that's not interested in doing anything for the Lord. Amen. Have they all sat around and they're mild-mannered and they pass on their mild manner to everybody else and nobody wants to do nothing for the Lord. And they sit around and they make up excuses and they tell you why they can't do nothing for the Lord and they tell you why God can't help them and they tell you why the giant's too big and they tell you why they're too small and they tell you why they're too many and why we're too few and they never do nothing for the Lord. Amen. And stay away from that crowd. Stay away from them. They disguise themselves as being super spiritual in the house of God sometimes, like they're the only people who know things. I'm going to say this. You know why God used David? David hadn't spent his time conforming to everybody else. Instead, he's been on the backside spending time with God. And while he was alone spending time with God, and he didn't seem to have no friends, and he didn't seem to have no favor with his family, he's just over there, Nathaniel, just saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And in between all of that, God got so big in his life, and when he showed up and that crowd tried to calm him down, I can see him in my mind. I say, "Now listen, we're all running. It's time to run." And old David says, "Oh no, I didn't come here to run. Amen. I didn't leave where I was at. I didn't show up in this place and just to run around." You're going to have to avoid the crowd that tries to conform you. I'll say this, you're going to have to avoid the crowd that's going to be critical of you. Amen. Listen right here, it just messes up. And most folks that are trying to do anything for God, you know why they don't do nothing for God? All they've ever been criticized. Amen. Hey, thank God. Listen, I want to say this, and it doesn't hurt my feelings a bit. I love them. I was preaching at New Haven one time, preaching in a revival, and me and their pastor's dear friends. And there's this little boy came up to me, and he said, "Preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You hurt my ears when you preach." And I said, "What a blessing." He said, "And he said you talk so fast, and I can't understand what you're saying." I said, "Amen, son." I said, "I appreciate it." I said, "Is that everything?" He said, "Well, you think you could slow down and be a little quieter today?" And I said, "I'm going to tell you this." I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Not a chance." Amen. I said, "Now smile at me." And I'm saying this, not a chance. And you know, I've been in churches many times, and folks have said many different things. I'm not for everybody, and everybody's not for me, but I am who God made me. Amen. And I ain't trying to be nobody else. I just get to be me. Thank God. I'm going to say this. They get over there, and David gets past the conforming crowd, and he shows up, and Eliab looks at him, and he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I know the naughtiness of thy heart and thy pride." I mean, I know why you're really here. That critical crowd, they'll look over and they'll say, "What are you doing here?" Amen. I mean, what in the world are you doing in this place? I said, "You ain't got no business here. I've got good news for you. There ain't none of you got no business here." Amen. And thank God. If it wasn't for the grace of God and God's goodness toward us, none of us would be in this place on this day. Amen. It's not because of what you done. It's because of what he did. Amen. Everybody's critical. You know you got to stand up. Now listen, if you're ever going to do something for the Lord, let me help you. I mean, I really want to help our young Christians, because this will sucker punch you if you're not careful. When you step up and you really try to start doing something for God, you think everybody's going to be for you. And they should be. Amen. But the reality is they're going to be critical of everything you do. They'll be critical of your life. They'll be critical of your wife. They'll be critical of your boys. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. They'll be critical of what you did say. They'll be critical of what you don't say. Help be critical of how long you do it. Help be critical of how short you don't do it. I mean, now listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. Just look at that crowd with all the love in your heart and tell them to get right with God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And I'll go on record as saying this. I want you to look at me. I'm happy in the Lord right now. All right. I want you to hear me real carefully. Amen. If you want to pastor the church, you want to be critical of those that are trying something, won't you step up and try to do something and let's see how it goes. Amen. That seems like it's real easy to be critical while we're sitting on the couch not doing a cotton picking thing for the Lord. Amen. But whenever somebody's trying, there'll be somebody be critical of how they do it. Amen. Smile at me. That's right. I hit the target on that one. I'll guarantee it. I'm saying this. Everybody's critical. Critical of how this church does it. Critical of how that church does it. Critical of how they do it down the road. Critical of how they do it over here at home. I mean, listen, Eliab, he says, "Won't you get back there?" He said, "What have you done with what you had? Why are you doing in this business?" And old David said, "I didn't come here to listen to your critical mouth." Amen. "I didn't come here to conform to that crowd. And I didn't come here to be criticized by you." I'm going to say this, friend. Then you find the third crowd. And this is the crowd that you got to be real careful of, because they seem like they're trying to help you. But there's a third crowd he encounters by the name of King Saul. And King Saul tries to control him. He takes his armor and puts on him. First thing he does, try to steal his liberty. Amen. You understand that David was a ruddy lad, and King Saul was so big that he stood shoulders above everybody else. There's no chance that David could have wore his armor. And when they put it on him, you know what they tried to do? They tried to steal his liberty. And then they put a helmet on him, tried to steal his vision. Then they put a coat of mail on him, tried to take his strength. And so he's in this place, and they're doing everything they can to take the vision out of his eyes, and to take the strength off his body, and to take the liberty from doing it. I'm telling you, thank God, I hope that God don't have to give up on my generation in order to raise up some folks that still got a heart for God, still got a sight for God, still got a want to for God. God help us. Stay away from that crowd. You're never going to get ahead. Come around that crowd and they'll say, well, this is how you ought to preach. I get told a lot about stuff like that. One fellow said, Brother Kevin, he said, you know, when you're just talking, you do real good. Real good. And so, matter of fact, I really enjoy it. He said, but when you start preaching, he said, I imagine whenever John the Baptist stepped out of the wilderness, lifted up his voice, and began to cry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. I said, you know what, John? If you'd just be a little quieter, a little less wild, maybe dress a little better, folks would listen to the message. It was not the message. It was not what he had to say or the way he said it. It was God they had a problem with. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Right, brother. Amen. I listen to preachers that shout. I listen to preachers that are quiet. I like to listen to Irish preachers. They never get above a whisper. It's not in them. It's in this and the power of God. I'm saying, Eli, if you're ever going to get ahead in this thing. Now listen, you understand, you're going to have to stay away from some crowds. You're not, look at me, friends. Y'all, I mean, I got a whole host of youngins that all from like right here to right here. Y'all ain't never going to be spiritual hanging out with unspiritual people. It just ain't going to happen. I mean, I wish to God, son, that here's what we need to happen. We need to get some folks that are interested in being spiritual. And they, some of them, you know why they ain't, Brother Kevin? Because they ain't got too much of an example to look up to know how to be spiritual. But thank God, if we had some folks who's interested in being spiritual, we'd get them all together and say, these folks are trying to. Hey, listen, let's just help them try. Amen. Amen. Stay away from that critical crowd. I mean, They're going to find fault with whatever you say. They're going to. Going to find fault with everything you do. And the only thing you need to know is when this thing wraps up, that you'll stand before God and so will they. And I'll stand trying and they can stand being critical. Amen. All right, listen, I'm going to move on quickly. Some of you, I lost you on that one. You didn't like that one. I'm preaching what the Bible says. You stay with me. There's a crowd that you need to stick with the worthy cause. You need to stay away from the wrong crowd. But I want you to notice this last thing. You're going to have to give God the whole credit. You know why most folks don't ever get ahead in this thing? Because they think anything good that happens, they're the ones who do it. They think, now listen, they'll never say it. They'll never say it. But they think the reason why God honors things around them is because of them. When in reality, it's in spite of them. I've given the Lord 10,000 reasons on why He shouldn't ever help me. And probably more than that. And I'm going to be honest with you. Don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. But that's part of what I like. Is that whenever I stand here and the man of God gets to helping me, there ain't no chance. I'd be an utter fool, Bobby, after things that I've done to the Lord to say, yeah, man, you're helping me because of me. Yep. No, we can step back and say, man, God, if you've done anything good in our lives, it's not because of any good thing that we've ever done. I messed up there, and I messed up there, and I messed up there, and I messed up there. But God, if you'd help me in this, I sure would appreciate it one more time. And Boy, when God shows up and he starts, I mean, that mighty hand of God comes down and starts interweaving things in our life and starts working all things to good for them that love God. We got to stand back and say, man, I didn't deserve that, but I want to give you all the credit for it. Every good thing that ever happened in David's life, he never took credit for it. Amen. He shows up and they're getting ready to fight. And Saul says, you're a youth and he's being a warrior from his youth. He said, let me tell you what the Lord done. He says, I was out there keeping sheep. And he said, there came a lion and there came a bear. You know what he says? And he says, and the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear. He said, boy, I was out there and an ear coming into me. Brother Savage, he said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know to tell you is that God just helped me. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's standing here. That's a past enemy. And now he's standing, he's looking at Goliath. And he said, and the Lord will deliver me out of your hand. Okay, hold on to your, I mean, watch this. Watch what your Bible said. I got to turn there if I can find it real quick. 2 Samuel, I think it is. But you don't even turn there because I'm not even sure if that's where it's at. But 2 Samuel chapter number 8, we find that this whole story goes down. It says, and after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines. Verse 2, he smote Moab. Verse 3, he smote Hazar. The Bible goes all the way down there. And in verse number 6, it says in the last words of it, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Bible teaches us he delivered him out of the hands of all of his enemies. You understand, he had three enemies in that story. He had a lion and a bear. He had Goliath. And then he had King Saul, that future enemy. Oh, listen, I want you to hear me. I won't be done preaching. You're going to get ahead in life. You're going to get ahead in your spiritual walk with God. It comes to this. You're going to have to stop trying to take credit for what's going on in your life. This, I didn't know this. Maybe some of y'all knew this. I was studying for this message, Chris. I got to looking this up. The Lord, every battle that David ever goes into, when he goes into it, he says, I give this battle to the Lord. And I want to know how many battles it was. Now, I don't know. This may not be an exact count. But the best I could tell, he's in at least 8 major battles. You can't make that up. No, some of y'all, that just went right by you, and that's all right. You didn't have to catch it. And the best I can tell, there's over 40 skirmishes. Maybe not just full-on battles, but at least skirmishes. And I wonder how many of them David lost. Seems like a fair question. How many of them did he get close to losing? You know what the answer is? Not nary. Well, that stirred my heart. If y'all was with me on that, you jumped up and ran a little bit. It stirred my heart that no matter how big, no matter how many, no matter how few there was of him, every battle he went in that he gave it to the Lord, he never lost a battle. David never knew what it was to be defeated in anything because in everything he faced, he gave it to God. All right, y'all listening? I'm about to be done right here. We find that David had a good reputation. He had a good reward. But I want you to watch this. He rubbed off on somebody. Brother Joe texted me this other day, and I said, Joe, stay tuned. I said, I'm preaching on that. That was Sunday night and didn't get to happen. But I want you to watch this. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 21. We find verses 19 and following. You don't even have to turn there. Just listen. Verses 16 and following. You find all the brothers of the giant show up. Verse 21 said, when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. Now, none of David's brothers was interested in fighting a giant. Y'all listen to me. Not one of David's brothers was interested in fighting Goliath. They was all afraid. Every one of them. But when David showed back up, and he's got a head that's about 3 foot long in his hand. He probably had to two-fist that thing. He shows up in the town with that head. He says, look what God's done.
Oh, Shimei went home and he said, come here, Jonathan. I mean, this is how it would have worked in my house anyway. Y'all give me a little liberty right here. Sets Jonathan down on his lap. And he says, now listen. He said, I was afraid to fight that giant. I was with the wrong crowd and I was doing the wrong things. He said, but you got an uncle. And he said, while I was over here running with the wrong crowd, your uncle was over there spending time with God. And whenever the giant showed up in my life and I was afraid, your uncle went and fought it. He gave it to the Lord. He said, I want you to see what he did. Takes him over there to David's tent, and they just stand there and they look at that armor that's strapped up on the wall of his tent. And he said, look at it. He said, that's what God will do with you if you'll just give it to him. Oh, Jonathan says, well, all right. And the next time they show up to a battle and them four brothers show up and they're getting ready to fight David, old Jonathan says, hold on, David, I got this. And I've been listening to stories about how you killed a giant your whole life and how you took his head off. I've been waiting for my turn for a mighty long time. And with the good grace of God, I'm going to do the same thing you done. And guess what he did? Amen. Had to skip a generation, but there's a generation got it in their heart. I say, there's a cause that we ought to stick with and do something about. Now, I'm asking you simply this. I want everybody to listen, and I'm done preaching. Allison, come to the piano. I want you to listen to me. I want everybody to stay real still, and then I'll tell you what I feel like the Lord's in my heart. I want to ask you, which one of the three places are you in? Are you a part of the crowd that's doing all those things? You're conforming, going the wrong way, quietening down. I mean, being critical of everybody, trying to do anything for God. Is that where you're at? You're never going to get ahead in this spiritual thing until you fix that. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Are you a part of that crowd that they're just day after day, they're saying, here's my worry. My worry is we're battling. We're that crowd that's meeting for 40 days and 40 nights. We're settling for what's good when we could have what's great. Are you going to be a part of that crowd that's going to say, there is a cause. I see it and I'm going to do something about it with the good grace of God. You've got the message. Let's stand to our feet. I'll give you what I feel like the Lord wanted me to have.